Welcome to Saving People, Queering Things, the supernatural podcast where Eric Kripke gets hunted for sports. Today, join us all as we explore Season 6, Episode 15, The French Mistake, through the theme of knowledge. I'm your host, Noah, pronouns he, him.
I'm Sam, my pronouns are she, they.
I'm August, my pronouns are they, them.
I'm Elena, pronouns she, they.
And I'm Jamie from Driver Picks the Podcast, pronouns she, her.
And I'm Beth from Raising Perdition and Raised Winchesters, and my pronouns are she, her.
And I'm KJ from Supernatural Opinions, and my pronouns are she, they.
And I'm Sarah from Raising Winchesters, and my pronouns are they, she.
We got a stacked crew today. I mean,
yeah.
You're all back.
With regrets from a couple of the members of the pod squad that were not able to make it today, but whom we love very much.
Beth and Hannah both send their regards.
Yes. Oh, sorry. That's just really funny.
It was
funny
like when I had a moment of silence, like they died or something.
Like... I can't hold that phrase without thinking of the Red Wedding, so that was just the wrong.
The Red Wedding? Oh my God. How did you pull a Game of Thrones reference out of that?
When you guys were like, it's a stacked cast, I was like, how buff is the pod squad actually?
The Lannisters sent their regards? Come on.
Oh, also Abby Jo so wishes that she could join, but she's just never gonna catch up.
Yeah.
We have to do an episode that's somehow not spoilery.
Yeah.
That Abby Jo can join. We'll do a just look back season five. Or we'll just be like, we have to do it on your show. We'll just be like, we have to do it on your show.
Jamie and I will come over to y'all's and we'll have like a whole, I'll even edit that one episode for y'all.
That would be so nice.
I was going to say that that's the kicker.
Past us, so Abby Jo can safely come on with us anytime now.
Yes.
Okay. So it just has to happen on one of the two shows that is not trucking through the gamble era right now.
Yeah.
It's always remarkable to me whenever I'm not the newest supernatural like podcaster on the, you know, like it's always remarkable when it's like, oh, I'm not the furthest behind. Like I've seen more than other people. Like, what do you mean? I've seen more than other people.
Because you guys are a few episodes ahead at this point, right? Where are you guys at?
Yeah, so we're actually, we've just watched 621. So we've got only the season finale to go.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Wow. That's fine. Mm-hmm. We'll catch up at some point, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. We're planning on catching up around the end of season 7 so we can do Gambit Era recap like we did for Kripke Era.
If you haven't listened to it already, go back and check out Jamie and I's bonus episodes on both Saving People, Queering Things and Driver Picks the Podcast.
It's full of chaos gremlin energy.
I don't know what happened in those. Like, no joke. Like, the chaos just come up and, like, I blacked out for a little bit and then I listened to it back later and I was like...
The predictions.
It was bad. It was a good time, though.
The general...
fun.
Yeah,
I remember having fun.
It was great. It was like, just leaving... the children unsupervised.
Yeah, especially the
one
on
the building blocks. We didn't get a Saturn reveal that episode, though, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, today's question that I have for my co-hosts is, if you woke up one day and you were in a TV show about your life, who would play you? Or how would you feel about that? You can answer either one of those questions.
So are we, like, trying to, like, fan cast our own lives?
I think so.
Because I think clearly the answer for me is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, obviously.
Fuck yes. Jamie,
so many similarities.
There we go.
It's the energy there, right? You know?
Like, I want specifically like 1990-something Jensen Ackles to play me.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I would like to be played by Rhys Darby. Thank you.
Ooh.
Oh.
Good options.
Oh, I had a thought that I don't.
Uh-oh.
I want to say because it's embarrassing.
Legally,
you
I
have to
I
do it.
Do it. Because I was like, I had way too much gender envy about this stupid. Oh my God, I know who it is.
Say it, Sam.
Sam needs to say it because
we'll be
like,
able to tell by August 1st.
I want to see if Sam got it right now, actually.
Yeah. So
I want to see if Sam can figure out what we're talking about. But if you're not right,
now I'm worried that I'm wrong.
Even if you're wrong, it's funny otherwise. Anyway.
For the siblings in the chat, maybe it's who plays your sibling and who plays you. So, you know, maybe it's a both.
Are we going to ever know?
Sam, you guys say it now.
Like, will we ever find out?
It's really embarrassing.
I'm on the edge of my seat right now.
Yeah. Join us next is killing me.
I need to know.
What if we all look away?
We all turn our cameras off.
We'll pretend we're not here. Oh, no, don't do that. That's worse. Oh, my God.
There's a lot of really fun visual gags that are happening that the audience really won't get. And I'm sorry for all of y'all. What if you say it at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Three, two.
Okay, is he gonna do it, Sam?
One.
No, she's not gonna do it.
Son of a bitch. Swear to God.
Okay, well,
type it in the chat. Send it specifically to one person that isn't August. Have August say it and then see if they're right.
There you go. That's a win right there. Sam, do you
compromise?
We have to know.
I'm going to go with very specifically the energy that Cole Sprouse brought to Riverdale. Very specifically.
I knew that was what it was going to be. I should have just said it.
Oh my God. I didn't expect that.
Didn't see that coming.
I hate it.
That is such an iconic choice, though.
That's the problem. I knew exactly who you met, August. Gender envy.
Yeah, because KJ and I have had many conversations about this in the context of Riverdale. But now, Sam, I do need to know who you were thinking.
I will just say though, August, you are wearing a hat, so you can do the whole like I'm a weirdo speech, and it works.
I don't fit in.
One of us wearing a hat. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you are.
Sort of don't fit in. In a good way.
Noah, who are you going to have play you?
I would have to pick Pedro Pascal is an ambitious one that I would love to throw out there.
Wow. A young Pedro Pascal playing you, though?
Pedro Pascal with the mustache, though, because he needs it. You know, that's shooting high.
I'm going to pick Emily Deschanel.
Hell yeah.
That's very cute. I like it.
I feel like she played like Pembroke's Brennan for 12 years. I feel like she could capture my like awkward.
I see it.
I stand by my restarting.
I love that me and August just went gender envy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the only criteria that I put into it. The only thought.
And that's valid of you. Oh shit. Who plays Jim in Our Flag Means Death?
Oh, Vico Ortiz.
Yeah, that would slap. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, that'd be a good
choice. I'd like that one.
Sam, who would you play? Who'd you have play you?
I honestly have no idea. I'm trying to like now or when I was younger.
Either.
That's up to you. Which has a better story?
Or in the future.
No wrong answer here.
I don't. Many faces are like flying through my brain and I can't choose one.
One funny thing, though, was that I did ask this question of my friend that's my roommate now, like years ago, like many years ago. And he was like, you know, who would play like me in an Elena movie? And at the time it was a pre-transition Elliot Page. So I'm really delighted by the plot development there.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
I was like, yep.
You know, we should have gotten Jay on this episode. This would have been a fun one for him to jump in on.
He's welcome to jump on.
Beth, did you choose?
No, because I have no idea who would be. I have suddenly forgotten every actress who's ever existed. So I can tell you my reaction, though, of me discovering that my life as a TV show would be really, really similar to Dean's. Being like, who on earth would want to watch my life?
Yeah.
My Dean coding would definitely like pop out in that one.
Yeah, it would be a shock. Fun browse fact. There was a point in my life when my mom got contacted by, I think, NBC and asked her if she wanted to move all of our extended family into one giant house and do a reality TV show about us.
Interesting.
That's crazy.
Means you were almost the Duggars. Almost.
Oh God. Don't put that out there. You were like two steps away from being one of the relevant families. That's the meanest thing you've ever said to me.
I'm sorry.
I think
I mean that in the sense that you were in that's the category you were being cast in.
That is exactly it though.
I do not think that you have similarities to them. I just compared
my family to the Duggars.
No. I said that's not what I said. What I said was if your family got a reality TV show, it's because of that genre. Yeah, that's the category that they're casting a family with as many children.
Absolutely fair.
Unfortunately. Not saying it's
you.
Good.
I hear you.
This is one of the funniest conversations way that I have been a part of in a while. And I'm so glad I got to witness it.
Honestly, knowing...
I think we should just make Noah like part of the Kardashians. Like, pretend like that's...
Jamie, I think that's the meanest thing you've ever said to me.
Damn,
because I'm mean all the time.
Like, I know.
I think the funniest part is I know like this much about Noah.
Don't even.
Right.
What are you about to say next? What's your next sentence?
That was it. And you're getting compared to the Duggars and the
Kardashians. Learning again, a lot. Is what they're saying.
Oh my god.
I'm not getting a good impression here, Noah.
I'm wearing a crop top. Does that help?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
I'm saying, you know, that's you would never be cast. Out. You would never be cast that now. Have you seen Noah? You and any of your siblings? Like,
you're all
queer. Actually, the reality TV show now that like 90% of you are queer would actually be really fun.
It would be so much better as long as my biological grandfather is not included on my mother's side.
We can make that happen.
He was the whole reason that she said no. She was like, oh, wait, he would have to live with us? No, thanks.
No.
Handle that.
Thank goodness your mother had enough self-preservation to be like, this would be a bad idea.
Oh, saved our lives.
The main thing that's separating you from like that hellscape.
Yeah.
Well, now that you've met all of your hosts for today, maybe a little bit more than you wanted to, it's time to catch you up. If you haven't watched Supernatural recently, here's what you've missed on the road so far.
Today, we're going to do it a little differently. We're going to have two people do each recap. They're going to do like the first 15 seconds, the first person will do, and then the second person will pick up where they left off and do the other 15 seconds. So this is a tandem sort of situation here.
I like it. First up. Elena and Jamie are going to recap the show up to this point using 15 seconds each. Are you all ready?
What I will do is I will pause it when it hits the 15, because then Noah can cut out any like gap time.
And the rest of us will all yell, stop, 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 stop.
You see us all waving frantically. You know, your time's up. Stop talking. They're going to pick it up.
All right.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. Elena, go.
So Sam and Dean are brothers and they fight monsters and they have a lot of daddy issues. It's really rough. And then one of them dies and then the other one gives a soul for the other one to not die. And then that one dies and then they all come back at some point. And then there's a gay angel that shows up and it gets really sexually frustrating for several people.
Stop, 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 stop.
Okay.
I was the only person yelling stop there.
I was watching.
I forgot the cue. Controlling the timer.
That's okay.
I didn't realize that that was like we were actually going to do that. I thought that would be an editing nightmare.
Sarah was trying to make it easier on
that's
Noah,
fair.
The editor.
That's fair.
Noah's like, no.
And so since I did this stop, 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 KJ, you have to do the next stop.
Oh, God.
During the Sarah Beth one. So it's a bet. You're good now.
We're all involved.
Remind me again when we get there.
Okay. Jamie, I'm going to count you in. You got 15 seconds left on the clock. Mm-hmm. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so we've got the gay angel and Dean, the main character. That's really frustrating and gay for a lot of people. And then a different gay angel kind of half convinces him to play the roles, but not Dean. And then a different brother who appears out of nowhere ends up taking Michael as a vessel. And then you've got Lucifer. And then they get blown into hell by a swift wind. And then they're in season 6.
Bam, you nailed it. Elena, incredible. I see you.
Incredible.
I had a plan for season 6 and I didn't quite have enough time to do that.
That's okay.
It's okay.
I think that was beautiful. Such a good combination.
It was art.
Power duo. Next up, we've got Sarah and Beth to recap this week's episode, The French Mistake, 15 seconds each. Did we decide who's going first?
Sarah.
Okay. Yes, we did. Heard. Message received. Sarah, I'm going to count you in. 3, 2. Sorry. KJ, this is your stop.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like I just got edged. I'm sweating.
No. Okay. Sarah, for real this time. 3, 2. August, are you ready to start the countdown? Okay.
Yes, my finger is on.
3, 2, 1. I'm sorry. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay. Renee Balthazar shows up and shoves them through a window. We don't know why, but then we're on a movie set or a TV set, and then they're confused. They don't know what to do, if they should be shooting things or running. They decide to just kind of stand there and look like idiots. They're on a movie set.
Stop.
You did not get very far.
I did not. I got so taken aback by like the four false starts.
No, you have to leave all the false starts in there.
I know, those are going to be so funny though. It's Sarah's fault for saying 6 hours long.
This is going to be ridiculous.
You threw out edging in there, and you can't just do that once. You've got to finish it.
And then
put so much pressure on me to like. I'm like, am I going to be done laughing in 15 seconds when Sarah's done laughing?
And then it was really funny because, like, the way that, like, my screen is arranged, like, as you were saying the no, I was looking at August, and August was going like this, and so it was like I was watching a bad dub of, like, somebody else's voice and someone else's actions. Was fantastic.
The real question is, why are you watching dubs, not subs? Anyway, okay, Beth, it's up to you to do the rest of the episode. Oh, no big deal.
I believe in you, Beth.
You've got 37 minutes left to recap. 3, 2, 1, go.
Dean prays to Cass. It's not Cass, it's fake Misha. Then Jensen is offended. They go to fake Jensen's trailer. They go to fake Jared's house. Ruby, fake Ruby's there. And then they get the stuff back.
Yes!
Considering how awful I did, I'm so proud of you, Beth.
I think that was really good.
The fact that calling them like fake Misha and fake Jensen is just so funny.
I feel like it was imperative that we get fake them in there.
Because
I really, my plan with my 15 seconds was actors playing characters, playing actors playing characters. I did not get that out.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, it'll get there somewhere else in this discussion.
It's getting shoved in this.
Oh, good, good.
Forcibly.
That was maybe my favorite recap that we've ever done.
I am a big fan of the splitting it when we have this many people, of like splitting it in half and making people share it. It's great.
Maybe it's just because I'm the host.
Me and Elena, like, teamwork makes the dream work. We really got there in the end.
We really did. We took it all the way, man.
And then I felt
it was really season 6, but that's okay.
Beth was a really good anchor.
But at least like another 5 hours if anything happens in season 6 anyway, so it's fine.
Exactly. So now that you're all caught up on everything up to this point, it's time for us to pick some music to accompany us on our journey. So here's what we have for this week's episode mixtape. Sarah, would you like to go first because I fucked up your recap?
Sure. Put you on the spot again. Immediately.
Fantastic. And since I almost always forget when I get onto these Zoom calls that I was supposed to pick a song, this is the song that popped into my head, and it is the song Backwards by Rascal Flatts.
Ooh.
Solid.
Okay.
So
I like it.
I would like to cheat my way through mine if that's okay.
Did you not watch the recaps?
I would like to pick the song French Mistake from the soundtrack of Blazing Saddles, the title of this episode.
Well, you know what? That works. We'll accept it.
We'll allow it. The court will allow it to proceed.
I'm going to suggest the song Video Killed the Radio Star by The Buggles. Just so I feel like you could put it under any single scene in this episode and it would work.
Yeah.
That's a good pick, Jamie. Yeah.
That's a good on-brand meta kind of pick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We love a meta pick.
I got one.
Hit it.
Mine is Take Me Back by Lewis Thompson.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah. And the lyrics are, take me back, because I never knew what I had.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
My pick that I had to go with for this episode was Be Who You Are by John Baptiste, featuring the one and only John Bellion. And it just felt pretty ironic with the whole way that the boys are, you know, trying to be who they're not.
Looking at this list of like songs, though, it's just making me think like one of these things is not like the other.
Okay, hey, don't call KJ out like that. It's fine.
I knew it was a cheater choice when I picked it, but I committed to it.
Well, if someone's got it, someone had to say it.
Someone had to. And we appreciate you falling on your own petard like that. Anyway.
That's where the metaphor goes. That's not...
You have like mixed metaphors, so.
And that's what we're all about, clearly, with the, you know, the whole vibe going on here today.
all good. We'll burn that bridge when we get to it.
Now that we've got our mixtape playing, it's time for this week's hunt. Today we're pulling up to season 6, episode 15, The French Mistake, through the theme of knowledge.
It's very cute that y'all assigned a theme to this episode and then invited all of these people.
Yeah, I mean, really,
if the theme does not happen all that much this week, that's okay, because we're going to be putting out a special little bonus episode.
Yeah.
Also talking more about this episode, because we realized we wouldn't fit it all, so...
Not a single one of my notes mentions the word knowledge in it, so I'm sorry.
Were we informed that this was through the lens of knowledge?
No, that's a great question. That's our bad. That's our bad. Yeah,
I personally, I was like, I didn't know. So.
Now, going forward.
I had no knowledge.
That's how the theme is fitting, because we had no knowledge of it.
And so, please shoehorn the theme in and pretend that you knew all along, so that we don't look like bad podcasters.
Today, we're pulling up to season 6, episode 15, The French Mistake, with all of us.
Through no theme at all.
No theme. And that's it. We're fine.
We'll do the theme for our bonus one.
Stay tuned for the themed bonus episode coming later this week. It's fine.
Here we go. Okay. Everyone, share thoughts.
First reactions.
It's maybe not a thing over here, but me and Beth have theorized about this thing called the Sarah Gamble long con, which is basically where Sarah Gamble was really, really heavily campaigning for angels. But when she got Misha Collins as Castiel, she decided she didn't want that sort of angels. So then she conspired to kill Eric Kripke to take over his show. So watching this episode for the first time, where she literally metatextually kills off both Misha and Eric Kripke and Robert Singer, was a little bit insane.
Yeah.
That is so funny. A little bit funny
that she managed to metatextually write in a joke that I would make for another 8 years.
It really gives you so much more ammunition for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
To also be fair, Kripke is one of the writers on this episode.
Yeah.
I think he only gets a residual writing credit, though, because he created the show.
No, this was one he actually did write.
This is one he actually did write.
Was he still writing at this point?
Yes,
that was actually
going to the end of season 6.
The thing I was going to say was that I got to watch this one like as it aired, and it was truly bonkers, because Misha actually tweeted the things that he tweeted.
Let me pull up the tweets.
That was one of my questions.
That's incredible.
Did you know this?
As it happened.
I don't think I did. I don't remember it, if nothing else, but I was ready. It was one of my notes that I was like, did Misha actually tweet this? Because first of all,
actually did at the exact moment.
Hola, mis amigos.
Yeah. I have seen this tweet
got me good.
So many times. Why does he spell hola that way?
Why does he spell it that way? Southern. And I think that's the key. He's trying to make a character count.
That was the olden days of Twitter when we were limited in characters.
Maybe.
Yeah.
What gets me though is, from what I know, from what Beth had told me, is basically when they pitched this episode to the actors and like let them know what the concept was, Misha said, can you let me be an absolute dickhead? Can you let me be like the most like up myself actor, like so rude, so dismissive? Like, can you let me be like an absolute dickhead? And they went, no, we're not doing that. And they basically wrote him like as a normal human being. But he was like, I still want to bring that energy, which is why he still comes off as kind of like rude and dismissive, but also... it's just so desperately sad.
Yeah.
It's like very pathetic, Misha.
Yeah.
Like it's like
so pathetic.
His little sweater and his namaste shirt, like, sweetie.
It's this weird mix of like it is like someone who doesn't like Misha very much tried to write a caricature of Misha.
I feel like
and then
it
we're
was
like now
Misha.
Pretend to be that.
Who did that? Like he
like Misha was writing
that.
Fan fiction about himself in that moment.
And then his agent was like, I watched this. It was definitely you. And he was like, you're fired.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
You don't know who I am at all, actually.
He's like, I'm not awful. Like, what do you mean?
It's so silly. It's so silly. Everything about this episode is so silly.
I enjoy how
it just throws you in.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They didn't say, we're going to go and put them in this alternate universe and we're going to make sure we get our money's worth. Like, we're not doing this for 20 minutes of the episode. Like, we're going to spend 40 of the 42 minutes in this alternate world.
It was literally Balthazar shows up and is like, here's a bunch of exposition. I'm throwing it all at you. And then throwing you out this window. Have
literally.
Fun.
That's all I got to in my 15 seconds.
Yeah, thanks.
Also, the other thing is that's also Balthazar just fully acting because, yeah, like,
right
at the end of the episode, it's revealed that, like, they didn't even have the actual key. Like, none of this was actually real. This was literally just to use them as bait, essentially.
Yeah.
The multiverse, the supernatural, they're like, we're going to create this whole, we're going to confirm the existence of a multiverse just so we can, like, fuck around a little bit.
Yeah, just so we can, for the walls.
Just so we can create a really elaborate diversion.
A really and big prank. Just
make fun of Jensen and Jared and Eric and Bob and literally everyone.
And they just, they lean so far into it because it's like, you know, who would want to watch a show about our lives? And he's like, apparently not many people do. Like, just
and then making fun of the fans. They love making fun of the fans.
They do.
Because we are all here as supernatural podcasters 4 years after the show ended.
Almost 4 years.
In the year 2024.
We're still talking about this show.
Crazy. This was in 2015.
Yeah, this episode aired
2011.
13 years 2011. Ago.
Oh my
God. Yeah, this episode aired in 2011.
Oh my God. Jesus.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to get a big yikes in there somewhere about that.
Yeah. Mm. Well, and the Sarah Gamble phone call with Singer is so funny because it's that whole, like, they're not really gonna listen to you. Like, we better call Karen Kripke. Like, like,
and they're like, you're kind of new, but like, you're, she's been writing for the show since season two.
They're like, yeah, Jared and Jensen, the assholes, won't listen to you. So we gotta call Karen Kripke to come and like give them a talking to. And then they immediately kill Kripke. Like, the author is dead.
Yeah,
the levels to which this episode takes death of the author are astounding, and I love it.
Death of the author, an angel shot him in the street.
Like, so shady of them to be like, I don't think that the guys know who you are, Sarah. When Sarah Gamble's been here, like, since like season one,
that's what I'm saying. Right. Like, she's been around this whole time.
Yeah,
I really loved Jensen's face whenever he found out that he was from Texas, and he did a.
It was like.
Okay, wild.
It's like, I'm a Midwest boy.
Like, I guess. He's like, Texas. Oh, God.
And then they showed fucking Days of Our Lives. Just
the Days of Our Lives.
The roasting of him that happens in this moment.
Okay, hear me out. They should have shown some Gilmore Girls clips.
They should have.
They should have. They missed their opportunity.
They kind of vaguely done that back in Hollywood Babylon, though.
They did.
Mm. Yes, they did.
I would like to have seen a Dean Forrester clip. I'm just...
I love how they kind of frame Jensen and Jared, how they were originally supposed to be framed in how, like, Sam was supposed to be the main character and Dean was supposed to kind of be, like, a little bit back further. So, like, you could see that Sam is more successful and Dean's just a little bit, well, Jared's more successful and Jensen's just a little bit.
That is true.
Which is wild.
I
kind of don't take Jensen as seriously within the context of this universe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I'm gonna propose a headcanon for you guys to either accept or reject. It's not that Jared's more successful in this universe than Jensen. It's that Jen is the most successful of the three.
Yeah.
Okay. And so this is actually her house and her money.
Yep.
Yes. Like, fair.
Headcanon accepted.
Yeah.
Immediately. Absolutely.
Yeah, honestly. Jen did so well. Like, every scene that she was in, I was like, she's killing
it. She stole it.
She's bringing her back. What bringing her back for this was just like such a good, like, of all the people to bring back.
Bringing her back, putting their actual wedding picture in there.
Iconic.
Like, imagine that conversation going to Jared and Jen and being like, hey, so because of the premise of this episode, it would be really great if we could, like, take some real wedding pictures and put them in this episode.
And then putting it on the same mantle as the alpaca.
I put that in my notes.
And then you've got, like, the pop art of Jen and Jared and the cowboy one.
Yes, yep.
And then Jared has.
That cowboy one, though, had the gift of prophecy.
They predicted Walker, Texas Ranger years before it even happened.
I know Jared and Jen have, like, a little, like, host of farm animals. Like, they have chickens and, like, other animals, but also, like, they're, like, actual, like, real life houses. Like, not a big mansion like that, but it is way cuter. Like, if their Architectural Digest video is so,
it's
like,
so cute.
They have such a beautiful house.
Okay.
It's so cozy.
Yeah, they have a much cozier house. This did not feel cozy.
Well, because even though Jen is, like, not as much of a caricature, she's still a caricature. Like, she's still like playing this kind of role. Oh, yeah. And it's so funny to see, like, when you know what Jen is like kind of like in her public persona. In general, she's a lot softer. She's a lot less like dramatic. And this Jen's fake Ruby is like super dramatic. And like, clearly their relationship is very, very odd.
It's something.
It's something. They are married.
They are.
Yeah.
And she doesn't doubt him whenever he's like acting so weird for the first time.
Genevieve.
They don't know each other at all, even in this universe, which is so funny.
Okay.
Like, yeah, the way she's just
it's so sad to me, though, that she's going to have to, like, check the credit card statements and be like, he spent $100,000 on what?
Okay.
Where are Rael, Jensen, and Jaren?
Yeah, that's one thing that they don't answer throughout this whole thing. Do they swap?
Did someone shove
them? Did they just, like, inhabit their souls?
Ooh, were they
like their souls just get like shoved in,
just like wake up and be like, I don't remember the last 2 days.
Right,
and everyone's treating me really weird.
A marvelous
yelling at me about this credit card.
They have messages and it's like, you quit.
You did what? It's like, now?
No, you quit and you maxed out our credit cards.
Like, yeah, I kind of feel like it's just like a pocket universe. Like everything stopped. Like they just got thrown into it. You know, like.
That's like a video game when the main characters aren't there, like stops buffering in.
Well, right. Okay, so this brings up actually a really big question, because like Virgil, when he shows up, he says all this stuff about like this Earth, like Earth 2, which is what Dean called it, is like Earth with no magic and like no, like when you die, you just like, my big question is like, is this a true multiverse reveal, or is it like more of a pocket, or is it more similar to like Changing Channels, where it's like they've created this little fake place for them?
It feels like the Changing Channels to me. Like, that's at least how I've always seen it, but...
Yeah, that's also how I've seen it. I feel differently.
Yeah, me too.
The only reason I wouldn't agree with that is just the fact that, like, the magic doesn't really seem to be working in there.
Yeah.
Like, I feel if it was not, like, genuinely a different... Like, whether it's a full separate universe or, like, a little pocket universe, I feel like if it was, like... If it was kind of like Changing Channels, where it's, like, Gabe just made that pocket within like the universe they're currently in, then I feel like, there's no magic. And that's confirmed by the fact that like Virgil has to actually have a gun and shit and not just.
Yeah. The fact that Virgil can't get in and out and like can't use magic is what makes me think it's different versus like.
Feels pretty powerful. Like that's completely different physics laws, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even Gabriel didn't depower Chaos. He just, like, made him disappear.
Right. He could get him out of the universe, fake universe, but he couldn't, like, reduce his power while he was there because he's still an angel. And you'd assume that, like, Raphael, power levels-wise are similar to, like, Chaos.
Because Raphael's an archangel. So, like, you'd assume that he would have
at least as
more
powerful
power.
Yeah. And at this point, like,
Least before Cass gets all his god weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And also the other thing is they're shoved in by Balthazar, who's not an archangel. Balthazar is just a regular ass angel. So for him to have enough power to create a space and then also reduce like actual archangels' powers in that space seems unlikely to me.
Yeah, because Gabriel is an archangel, right? Never mind. Zachariah does the other one.
Yeah.
But even Zachariah, like, it's very much canonical that it's not a separate universe. It's the same universe, just with a different colored filter over it.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's the same building, real ghost, real everything, except, you know, them.
And they even find the ghost facers in that episode. So it's like, there's definitely some shit going on there. So I think Raphael being able to shuffle them over to the next world over, Earth 2 or Earth 7D5 or whatever, is a little bit more realistic for his power set.
Mm.
I say realistic. This is all a fake show. That's all.
You know, this is where we spend the next 40 minutes going through methodically every single point by point piece of evidence we have to support each possible theory and try to work out the science behind reality shifting within Supernatural,
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Mm. I mean, this was meant to be through the lens of knowledge. So,
this is the lore section,
which is just this whole episode. The meta and the lore are just this whole episode. The line early on that just made me laugh really hard is when Jen says, to Sam, says, "You have been Sam Winchester way too long." And I was like, yeah. "It's season six."
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Jared is going to play Sam for another like nine decade.
Poor Sam.
The actors are trapped.
Canada, because you get the lovely reflection on the car windscreen, and that's how they know they're in Canada. And that's the worst possible thing for Dean, apparently.
Which we're not even in America in anymore.
America.
He's like, we're in Canada.
I know. I also was pretty amused by his like, you know, I'm not wearing any Oh my God.
I'm a painted whore.
He says,
he's so dramatic.
He throws some shade at the best sport by saying, if I have to hear one more conversation about hockey, I'm going to puke. And you know, the funny thing is about this timing wise is because this was, I'm going to get a little mad. This episode came out in 2011, which was right when like the hockey team in Vancouver was like really good. Like they're not, they weren't good for like a decade after this, but they were really good that year. And like, they almost won the big championship. So like there was legitimately a lot of conversation about the team in the city. So like, it makes sense that he would have actually heard a lot of conversations. And like, that joke does not work.
It's canonically accurate in that sense.
Yeah. Like, you know, he would have probably heard a lot of conversations about hockey, which is,
I think you're throwing this shade at the Vancouver team for like a decade after this moment in 2011. They were shit. Be right
they
before
were shit for so long.
August and KJ start their new.
They're not shit anymore.
Podcast.
They're good now.
I know.
They're not
I
shit anymore.
It.
They're
good
now.
I get it. I'm just trying to throw out cross promotion for your show.
Yes, it's true. It's true. Listen to KJ and I talk about hockey on our hockey podcast.
I'm so excited.
Such a seamless promo.
Wait, what is the name of this hockey podcast? I feel like I missed this.
It's called Chirping Coast to Coast.
Which is so good.
Oh my God. I love that.
Put a link in the description.
We will definitely.
One thing that obviously I can do is plan a podcast.
That's beautiful.
I feel like the most dangerous thing to give a podcaster is like 2 hours where they don't have to do anything else because it's like new podcast.
Might as well make a new one. Mm-hmm. I've almost started a Bluey podcast like 3 times at this point.
So on board.
I've never seen Bluey.
Well, that's...
I've just seen bits on TikTok.
That's a personal problem that you need to fix as soon as possible.
But what if you want me to be live reacting to it?
You know what? You're right. So hold off.
Enabling him.
The Supernatural podcast where we start other podcasts in the middle of the podcast.
We all have problems.
Louis makes me kind of mad because as an Australian, it's made everyone else think that we say "nar" all the time, which is not how we pronounce it.
As somebody who has edited a few episodes of content with Australians,
you definitely do.
Do you throw out "nar"?
It does sound. Maybe often. It sounds to your ears different, but to our ears, I think it sounds the same.
Like Beth literally said it like an hour ago.
Not quite as often as the Canadians in the chat saying "a." But like,
yeah, we do that way more.
I do own that one.
Yeah,
I know. I say that a lot.
That's valid. But it happens. I'm sorry. I love you.
I think everyone just assumes that it's our version of like "no," but it's not. Yeah, "no." It's "not."
That is also fair.
Yeah, like there are different words. You got to learn the distinction.
Yeah.
But everyone treats it as if we're saying "no" instead of "nah."
Yeah, but I think that's because.
I'm hearing the same word.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I might as well be full Australian today then.
Sorry, what are you on the daily? Are you not full?
Normal Australian.
Oh, okay. So you're not full Australian. You're just
not
normal
full
Australian. Okay.
Occasionally, you just
Jamie
bring
was
out
reining it back.
Got you. I appreciate it. But also, let us have it.
Yeah, no, mate. Sometimes you just got to let the drongos have it.
Bingo, I'm my baby. I'm sorry.
Can I talk about something less silly and fun?
Let's
please. Go to get us back
on
mean
the actual episode that we're meant to be discussing.
Reel us in, KJ.
Yeah,
reel us in.
Throw another shrimp on the Barbie. Let's do it.
They're fucking prawns, bro.
Okay, so Bobby's obviously not home when Balthazar shows up to like eat them into the like whatever we've decided this is. But, like, the only reason that anybody would be out in that kind of storm is if you're an alcoholic and you've run out of alcohol, but two other alcoholics show up on your doorstep for help. Like,
yeah,
there's no other reason you'd be doing a supply run in a storm like that.
Do you know how
what
mad
if he
it
was
made me?
On another case?
secretly without telling the boys?
Dean said he's on a supply run and then emptied the bottle.
Literally dripping the last few drops out. It made me so mad that they were in Bobby's house.
Without Bobby.
Without Bobby.
Yeah.
And then broke like his second window. Second
episode in a row. And then broke his window.
Yeah. He's going to come back and he's going to be like, what the fuck
happened? But the window was fixed by the end of the episode.
Even okay.
So that enters another question.
Was it?
Are they in a third universe? Or are they back in their original?
I think it just magically got fixed.
Did they time travel?
I thought it was like raining in the house.
Yeah. It straight up was.
Oh, wait. Was it?
I thought it wasn't fixed.
Good. Good.
Yeah, I think it was like raining in the house, and I was like, "That's a fucking plywood."
Don't listen to me. I literally watched it an hour and a half ago.
Respect your father.
That's a third question, because does that mean Bobby didn't make it back from his supply run by the time they came back from this parallel?
Well, yeah. How long were they gone?
How long were they gone? Yeah.
Yeah. I think in my head it's like minutes in their universe.
Yeah, I think so. I think
Virgil had enough time to plan his whole journey over there and then showed up like a day.
I just think time works differently when they were over in Bizarro World.
Because it went from like daytime to night.
Angels are capable of time travel, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. So Virgil made his plans and then time traveled back to moments after that they left and then jumped through.
Or he might have just been out of
when Raphael pulled him back.
Raphael could have pulled him back to an hour after they left, or 5 minutes after they left, or whatever. That also makes sense. It would be great if we had some really consistent writing on this show, but you know what?
I think you're reaching
too far. This is the wrong show for that.
Yeah, not what it says on the tin.
Nope.
The CW stamp means that.
Ooh. Every once in a while, I forget that the show is like produced by the CW.
Mm.
And that I feel like that's a compliment to Supernatural. Yeah,
if you manage to forget that.
Yeah. And then sometimes you're violently aware of it.
Yeah.
And reminded, like they throw it in your face. We are
if you just took off some of the like aesthetic choices and like the trappings and that, if you just like read the words on a script, I think you would be violently reminded that it's a CW show. I think the thing that like does it is just
ties because we enjoy it so much.
Oof.
And like the packaging around it is just very different to especially what the CW is doing now in terms of like their programming. I think, it's literally just the fact that they lean so hard into like horror movie tropes kind of like disguises the fact that it's very much like CW writing choices.
And especially that they're like middle-aged men by the end of the show.
they're not teenagers. Are you sure this is CW?
And it's great.
Speaking of the writing of this episode, there was one line in particular that I took personal offense to, and by extension, August, because I know that we're both huge fans of this word. They have a moment where they say, who writes this shit? Because who says penultimate?
Me too.
Favorite penultimate on Real World Edition.
Noah, every opportunity he gets a chance to.
Any opportunity.
Me too.
The first episode of this show that I was on, it was the penultimate episode of season one. And I was like, I literally said, oh my God, I'm so excited I came on this episode because I get to say penultimate a few times. And then August said, oh yeah, penultimate, because this is the penultimate episode. And we went back and forth a few times.
And that's come up every single penultimate episode.
Every season.
Good. So good. I'm glad to hear you saying
that. Sarah's a liar.
Every single time that I hear that word, I think of this episode.
And that's okay.
So,
but it's not a penultimate episode, so that's also kind of not okay. But
it does mean that you got to say penultimate a bunch more times.
I just I just visualize that specific scene in my brain. Like, who writes this shit? And I think that's why I don't use that word.
Okay, but now think about how August and Beth and I really love that word. And
also Sam's 100% used the word penultimate before.
He has.
100%.
Surely. He definitely seems like the type.
Oh, I feel like I can't tell you what episode, but I can like see in my brain Sam saying the word penultimate and Dean going, who says penultimate? I
want to and then he use it later in the episode.
Yeah. So
because that's how Dean works.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I learned a new word.
Look at me use it. Look at me use it in context.
I'm so smart.
I like the look at me use it in context song.
Also, the line in this episode from Bob Singer, where he looks at them looks at them dead in the eyes and goes, "You cannot make up your own lines," and then repeats it. "You cannot make up your own lines."
Which is so funny considering, like, I know for a fact that they were ad-libbing all the time. Like,
oh yeah. Especially in an episode like this.
Yeah, especially in this episode. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Getting to roast themselves in a professional context.
Each other.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why I've always been very amused by the, "What, now you're Polish?" Like, I don't know why that line always cracks me.
Eamon Padalecki.
Lucky. I'm pretty sure. Lucky. I'm pretty sure.
Sam immediately learning like the name, the proper pronunciation, like within seconds of hearing it, is very Sam of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's so funny to me though is like it's so logical that everyone just jumped to the conclusion that these dudes were on drugs. Because like just think about this entire episode. They don't seem to remember their names. They can't seem to remember their lines. Their acting has suddenly gone out the window. But also there's a full scene where they're just standing there and they're presumably mic'd up still because they've just finished shooting and they're standing there talking about murder. You presumably still have a live microphone on you somewhere.
Yeah.
And should we like, be killing anyone?
Everyone's like, so. You know, they're probably just on drugs.
Yeah, actors these days, you know?
Where he's like, "We've all had a psychotic break."
And he's like, "I can work with this. This is fine."
Okay. Like, actually, I'm so desperate for this show called Supernatural to keep airing that I will just turn my eye and be like, "I'm not looking at your drug problem."
Yeah. I mean, that conversation starts with like, "If we give you more money, does this go away?"
Like, no, I actually think the amount of money that they have might be why you're in this.
Yeah, they're like, Dean is disgusted by that conversation. He's like, "You pay them enough."
Which is also really funny because not like three scenes earlier is him just being in absolute glee about the amount of money that they have.
Yeah, he's like, "It's fine for me to use it because it's me. Do not pay them more when we leave."
Like, it's honestly so entertaining watching actors playing characters, playing actors, playing characters.
Sarah left the pod squad.
Sarah's been waiting all episode to say that.
Sarah almost said it earlier and then stopped.
That's the only reason I remembered it. I know. I'm sorry. I texted August to make sure they knew it was a joke, but
Noah's message reads, "Watch Sarah here."
I'm gonna cut that whole started, bit out.
I said actors and then other people were talking, so I shut up.
I'm proud of you for that, but that little clip will be the bonus bit at the end of the episode, so you can say it right now. It's fine.
Actors playing
characters. No, you gotta do the whole, it's really entertaining to
no.
I already said that once.
Now you must say it again.
Again.
This is not a live podcast.
I gotta say, you know, like, it was very entertaining to watch actors play characters well that played actors that played characters poorly.
Oh, honestly, that is such a fun time to watch. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, so true, really Sarah.
It's not possible.
The setup for that joke was all episode.
Yeah.
I would like to point out, this is a little bit of a turn, but I would like to point out that it is not that easy to get a gun in Canada.
Oh, yeah, good point.
I just know it's not that easy.
As an American, I didn't bat an eye.
I think they forgot that they had set this episode in Canada.
I support
like,
you, Beth.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I watched this episode, like, on my rewatch, I was like, hold on.
Especially as a Southern American.
No. Yeah, not. Sorry. No, sorry.
Not how it works in Vancouver.
What if he realized that because he went to Vancouver gun store and then went down south to Washington?
Oh, so the one Vancouver gun store? There's not enough time in this episode for
that,
though.
There's
one Vancouver
gun store. That's what he doesn't have magic, so he can't just zap himself from America.
Yeah. It's not that close. Trip. That's like a few hours minimum.
No.
It's across the border. Like from Vancouver.
Really?
From Vancouver, yes.
It would be only like an hour.
Not, to get to a gun store?
If you're in
also
the
a bunch
actual
of
city of
fields.
Vancouver.
To get from the city of Vancouver, where they're filming, like to any border is like
it's two.
Anywhere from 45 to a couple of hours. And then you have to get across the border. So you have to wait in the border line. And then you have to drive to a gun store. And like the first bit after you cross the border is a bunch of fields. So like, oh, I'm guessing minimum of like, he'd need like 4 hours. He'd need but like once 2 hours get to America, and 2 hours.
You will get the gun quickly.
In 20 minutes or less.
Also, like, he wouldn't have a passport.
That too. I'm like, how are you proper? You're fucking crossing the border.
Back over the border
bro.
With a bunch of guns, also not also advisable.
Also, yeah,
that's
magic.
Also fair. But this is back in 2011, so.
All right. Still not that easy.
No.
Yeah. No.
That's not an
See,
excuse.
See, I forgot that they were, like, canonically in Canada, so it was completely yeah. normal. And I wrote that in my notes. Like,
yeah, that's how that works.
I literally, yeah. in my notes, have, like, you know. Flex gun laws in America.
There is a, I hate to expose you, August, for your lack of awareness about gun stores, I guess, which is a positive
no,
thing.
No, that
I
was
think.
A joke. I was making a joke about the okay. one gun store in Vancouver. I know there's more than one. I was
no,
making
no, no,
a
no.
joke.
I'm saying there's
bit,
one,
Noah.
There's one 15 minutes past the border to Canada.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that I didn't know, but like, why would I know that?
And that's yeah, fine.
Well
that's
done,
fine.
America. It's still a 2 hour. It's still like
I mean, if there is a bunch
trip.
Of fields,
oh,
maybe
2 hours round trip.
At least, minimum, with border crossing time, at least.
I mean, there was definitely a break there because they had to act.
Yeah,
and you still, know how long that
we had took. Hours.
Also, the whole passport crossing the border with guns Ooh. Thing seems like more of the barrier than
yeah.
the
also,
Do we
Virgil
think he just shot
passport?
Himself through?
Ooh. No, he wouldn't have a passport. Where would he have fucking gotten a passport?
I do think it's more likely that he shot himself through. Thank you,
That's
Sarah.
Probably, at least getting back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For
sure.
On the way out,
getting
Canada
there.
Doesn't really care about people leaving Canada, do they?
They're probably just like...
But America is worried about people coming in.
Oh, you know what?
Canada.
That's right.
Canada?
Fuck America,
not
honestly.
Canada.
This is
Vancouver.
Shit.
And we
all the Americans
care about
went.
Anyone trying to bring guns back in. Like,
yeah,
we definitely care about that.
That's the one. Yeah. That's where.
See, going
to.
Back, he had the guns, so right. like that's the explanation. But like,
I would hope.
Just a little hand wavy is the point.
A little
I think.
Hand wavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It,
I mean, the entire
convenience.
A little
convenience.
Yeah. I got really hung up on the logistics of that because everything else. Which, I was like,
I get it.
They've made a whole thing about this being Canada.
Yeah,
they show
yeah.
the real Vancouver highway sign when they're driving.
But then I love how the next shot is like the windshield and there's just a maple leaf.
Have you seen that sign?
Oh, like a million times.
Okay,
that's good. That's the sign they installed for the Olympics that were the yeah. year before.
Oh.
The Welcome to Vancouver sign that they installed for the 2010 Olympics.
Okay.
Wow.
That's what that sign is.
Yeah, but I don't know where the red Canada, I don't know where the red, like, maple leaf came
that's
from.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
like,
not
like, that was just an effect that they
I think that's on. Just so that they can
absolutely.
Be like, remember, we're
we
in
don't
Canada.
Have that on the highway.
Everyone knows that you only know you're in Canada when you get the red maple leaf sign reflected on the windshield. That's
yeah.
the only way to know you're in Canada.
Kind of similar to Texas, because you only know you're in Texas when there's a gun on the highway signs as you drive past them.
There's a gun on the highway yeah. signs?
But you thought Texas maybe city. Yes for a
yeah.
second.
You thought
but
about
it,
huh?
It's a possibility.
I thought for a second.
I wouldn't
you know
be surprised.
What that seems possible.
Yeah.
Seems
I thought it was a joke, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Yes, exactly.
When in 2011 did this come out?
February.
Okay, so like this would have been filmed in 2010 then. Like, would there have been extra stuff up around Vancouver in 2010 because of the Olympics? Like,
yes, because the Olympics
yeah,
were,
yeah.
were
they were
exactly
preparing
a year
for
before
it
this.
For like a year before.
Yeah.
So there would have been Olympic stuff starting in 2009, and the Olympics yeah. were like February 2010.
Yeah.
So yeah, okay. It actually would have been probably around. I don't know when exactly they were filming, but would have been in the height of Olympic.
But explain the extra Canadian like. Decor around
possibly.
The general area.
Yeah.
Especially going into like downtown.
Yeah.
We briefly talked about like the actors playing characters, playing, you know, the
we?
Whole mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
like
there
was one of us.
People.
That said
Are
that.
We sure?
I think it was just one person that said
I think
that.
It was just one person.
I think so.
Anyway, one of my like, the scene where they're acting and they're doing such a poor job. One, I love that Jensen and Jared and Misha, because he's, you know, doing it too. Like, they get to do this comedy role. They're so good at it.
Yeah.
Like, they don't get to do that often in Supernatural, and they kill it, and I love it. But also, when Dean lowers his voice even more, and Sam looks at him, he goes, what are you doing? And he goes, that's what he's doing. And, like, the
that's
eye contact. The eye contact that Dean is making with Misha Collins is impeccable. Like, I love it so much.
He got a posse. He's like,
he doesn't look away to Sam at all. He's just like, I have to make, he's looking at me constantly.
Like, I need to impress.
It's the Destiel eye contact coming through on set.
It's so real.
He did some research.
Yeah. Which begs the question, how did he do that research? Did he look back at some of their prior episodes? Did he watch some uncut footage?
I think he looked up Supernatural TV show and he found some interesting things.
He just watched Lazarus Rising.
I hope he went to Tumblr.
And all of a sudden it just like changed. Mm-hmm. It just sort of all the pieces clicked into place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was like, oh, so that's what everyone sees when they look at us.
Yeah. It's either that or he just thought to himself, what would I do in this situation? And he goes, oh, look at Cass.
Either of those is incredibly intimidating. Yeah. Either of those options.
Also, when they first get there, and he's the first one to be like, you know, if Cass is still alive, like he's the one that brings up, like, you know, Cass is in trouble. And then he prays to him, and he's so relieved to see Cass and like so offended that it's not actually him.
Yep.
The personally offended.
The personal pain in his
Misha?
Face.
Like he's like so pissed off.
What the hell's a Misha? First of all.
Jensen, Misha, what's up with the names around here? So funny.
Adaleski.
Amen. Badaleski.
Well, my point was actually also about the actors being characters being actors being characters part.
Whoa. You're really just going to drop that as often as possible, are you now?
The thing that only one of us said?
Only one. Well, Beth said it now too, so.
You're right. I guess it's now. At this point in the podcast, too.
I tried to say it. I don't think I really succeeded at saying it.
Okay. But when Jensen's playing Dean, you see the one part where it like points to his feet and you can see the spike tape.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't know, Jensen's spike tape is always blue and Jared's spike tape is always red. The spike tape in that particular
he's on the wrong one.
There's blue spike tape, but there's white spike tape over it to like highlight it for the scene. And I just really enjoy that for some reason.
Sweet, white has no significance in what's Misha's spike tape?
I honestly don't know.
Please tell me it's blue.
Okay, well,
no,
it can't be.
Jensen is blue.
Yeah. Green. That's what I meant.
I think it's. Yeah. I feel like green would make the most sense, but I don't.
I'm gonna commit a crime.
But also, we have the DSTL brain rot, so green, of course, is gonna make sense to us.
Is it because I called you all big fans?
Misha is yellow. So sorry to break the news.
I like that took you 0.5 seconds.
Sarah pulled up their phone and I was like, Sarah's looking it up. They're going to know in about 2 seconds.
Sarah talk about it a lot. Like, it is a very, I would say, well-known fact about them. Like, they talk about it often.
Okay.
The wind sesties.
You can remind Delulu if you remind yourself if you're that blue plus yellow equals green.
You said the wind sesties and got cut off.
You said the wind sesties and I'm so anxious about what the rest of that sentence is. Because I know Jamie's hoping that it's the wind sesties got to win today. Or
it's just wind sesties lore.
Yeah, it is wind sesties lore. I love that they have Cliff in there, but it's not actually Cliff, but Cliff has been on Supernatural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cliff was in
Prison Blues.
Prison Blues.
He played Tiny.
He was Tiny.
Okay. I was about to say, I really hope that Tiny made it into this episode because he's their bodyguard, right? And so he is their whole like escort throughout the rest of it.
But he's not there. Like somebody else plays Cliff.
Which is like basically what everyone other than Jen is. Like everyone else is not playing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's really funny that they were like, we won't get any of the actual producers.
That is delightful.
We only get the person who's actually an actor to play themselves.
I would have appreciated if they had had everybody behind the scenes play themselves.
What if the writers played themselves, I want to say?
Yes, exactly. If Bobby Singer and Eric Kripke had played themselves, it would have been really funny seeing them contrasted against Jared and Jensen's quote-unquote bad acting, which was so funny. But like,
yeah, that would have been really funny.
It would have been really funny to see writers who are not actors play themselves.
The guy, the The one who's Lou. He's like the stunt coordinator. That's yeah. I think that's actually him. Lou,
oh, is that
yeah.
actually him?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It is. It is.
Honestly,
him.
That's he's cool. the person I would have believed to be an actual actor the most.
That's the only people that they got to do it.
He's like co-written or helped like storyboard yeah, like two episodes before. Yeah, like one episode.
That's cool.
That's why yeah. I knew that was because we Same. Talk about the writer every single week. So like
we?
When we talked about him, I remember being like, oh yeah, and he plays himself in the episode where
I showed Abby Joe a picture of Lou from The French Mistake, obviously not telling her any details, just being like, yeah. this is the guy. Like, because his name's like Lou Bolo or something yeah. similar to that. I was like, he looks like it. Like, you see this man and you're like, I can believe that that's a Lou.
You're like, yeah, that makes sense.
My grandpa's name is Lou. And so I take a little bit of offense to that, but it's fine. It's fine.
While we are talking about producers, though, I did notice that they have like the little plaque that says like KM Studios. I'm assuming that's like a little shout out to Kim Mannins.
Probably.
I was like, oh, that's a nice little detail.
And also, like, they weren't putting the CW on anything.
Fuck the CW.
Yeah.
He says
the CW that. Then stuff, they might have actually been profitable.
Yeah.
One of my biggest issues, which we've kind of talked about, it's like the Sarah Gamble long con or whatever, but I hate that they killed Misha in this episode. The disrespect that Misha received on the set of Supernatural pisses me off. And
they just like
so
joke about it in this episode. In this episode, they're just joking about yes. it constantly about like being like, haha, wouldn't it be funny if like
right.
Misha was like, if Jensen and Jared were actually assholes to Misha and everyone else was, and then he gets killed.
Right. Also, like, the just them being like, yeah, but we made the front page because he died. Like the disrespect, it makes me so upset.
Not like Supernatural wouldn't use every like real life Supernatural wasn't going to use any opportunity to use Cass to make the show more popular at
right.
Cass's expense.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Like that wasn't a real thing that they did.
But the amount of fun that Misha had doing that death scene, I feel like it balances out, you know? He really put his heart and soul into it.
The part that does make me laugh is like, they're like, okay, listen, we are getting Misha out of here. We want to kill him, but we can't not admit that he's attractive. The attractive crying man.
The attractive crying man was over there. And the, what did they call the other guy?
The angry guy?
I think angry guy.
I will say, though, at the start of the episode, Balthazar calls Cass Cassie, and it just was like, oh, you mean like Dean's first love, Cassie?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. That's a really good parallel to draw. Mad props.
Like, that name sounds familiar. I wonder where you've used that name before.
Yep. Makes you think.
Makes you think. The scary man killed the attractive crying man. Yeah. Yep. One note that I really did want to mention before we got to the end is there's one guy, whenever Virgil goes to the set and starts shooting up Kripke and starts shooting up everybody, there's one guy who is dodging all the gunfire. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So is this guy like one of the stunt people for the show? Or like, how is he able to dodge two different shots at him?
They don't address it at all, and they just ignore it. He gets away.
He
doesn't get shot.
And I'm going to go this way, I guess.
Do we get a name for him as a character, or can we just kind of assign him?
He's just a background guy.
He has no name.
And he dodges, and he dodges. And then he's not mentioned again, not shown again. It's just...
But if we don't get a name, that means we could basically call him any background actor, producer, writer that we wanted to. Like, we can headcanon him as whoever we want.
Okay, so let's call him...
Who else wrote this wrote on this episode?
That's
Ben Edlund.
That's Ben Edlund now?
Because Sarah Kripke gets...
Sarah Kripke.
Sarah Kripke.
Fuck me.
That's a good blooper. That's a good one.
Sarah Gamble gets mentioned.
You're not allowed to cut that out.
Gets mentioned. I won't. And Ben Edlund, I think, is the third one. And he's the third major writer on the show, right?
Yeah. So from what I can tell, like generally speaking, like if you're a showrunner, you kind of get a writing credit on like every episode of the season because you deal with the overarching stuff. But Ben Edlund was like the specific different writer this episode.
Yeah. So maybe that's him. I'm going to check the IMDb real quick.
Ben Edlund doesn't recall Kripke minding getting shot. I'm not sure if he didn't demand to be blown away, said Edlund.
He doesn't recall, so that means
sounds like Kripke actually
wanted to get killed.
Yeah.
I think killing sounds the creator in a place where we're talking about absentee gods and stuff is something that immediately appealed to Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, of course it did.
Just,
yeah, that's like none of this information is at all surprising.
No.
Yeah.
When he's getting shot though, I thought it was so funny because the actor like just keeps walking towards Virgil. He gets shot like three times.
Yeah. Like once on the left, once on the right, yeah. And then it's like to the chest. He gets
non-fatally shot the first two times. Like yes. You can totally survive that if you just maybe like run out of the way. He's like, no.
Fake die. I don't know.
It's a big like cinematic. Cinematic, like old west, like hero
they
death,
do
like,
the big midwest,
which again Kripke's like yeah. Drooling with like anticipation that the character playing him is going to get to do this, like
he's so excited for it, you know it. And maybe this is just the Texan in me, but a few days ago at work I saw somebody, because I got to a stop and I saw a guy literally get hit with three separate taser hits and did not fucking flinch.
Man,
he said that's fine, that's
light,
fine
light work, no that's reaction fine.
No big deal. He had to have been on coke or something. And then once yeah. He got hit with the beanbag shotgun that American cops
that's what
have,
took him out
that's what took him out. He said you know what, hold this knife, it's fine, no big deal. So maybe Eric Kripke is built like that guy and he's on coke the whole time.
It would explain a lot.
It would explain a lot, right?
Oh.
And that's
so
why
we're
the
not
show
just
got
saying
popular.
We can dismiss the first five seasons as maybe Kripke was just on coke.
Maybe he was just on coke.
That seems like an interesting take to take.
You know what, Jamie? I'm a little disappointed we didn't bring that up in our breakdown episode. Like, why didn't
absolutely.
We ever touch on maybe Eric Kripke yeah. was just on coke the whole time?
Maybe.
I just love that. We did touch on the fact that Jared has those paintings, correct? He has both the pop art and
does
the
he?
Cowboy one.
Okay. Wow. Jared does?
As he should, honestly. I think you should be allowed to take that home.
And there's a joke in here about how they sold off one of Jared's watches for like $3,500. And they were like, how much would these big ass paintings sell for? I won't be surprised if they end up at a convention one day. Just saying.
I'm going to send a picture to, I guess, the podcasting squad
yeah.
group message. And it's a scene from Psych where somebody who is credited in this episode of Supernatural is credited as set guy shows up in Psych. And so I'm curious if anybody remembers the face of the person who dodged the bullets. And maybe it's that guy in that picture.
I don't think so.
You know what? I don't want the negativity. I only
I'm
want beast, positive
I'm just
answer.
Being honest.
To be like, yes, yes. I don't think it is, but
if you want to headcanon it, you can.
I will headcanon it. And he showed up in Psych too. Isn't that crazy, everybody?
That's
whoa.
Crazy. Yeah. Wow.
Thank
wow.
you. Thank you. Positive answers only.
We haven't talked about the end, and I feel like before the episode ends, we should just at least mention what happens.
You're right.
Not my podcast, but I do feel like y'all might want to talk about that.
That's clearly the least important part, though, you know?
Yeah, because really, what we really care about is the first 25 minute minimum.
And the guy that's dodging all these bullets.
And the guy. Yeah, which
that's
right
the real
this
fucking question.
Really important for us to talk
he's
in depth.
Real
in
star.
Anybody listening knows who the guy dodging the bullets is. If it's Ryan Beal, fucking hit me up specifically so I can lord it over everybody else in this call, because that'd be great. If it's not, just hit up, you know, the Saving People Querying Things Twitter or Instagram or whatever.
I thought you were going to be like, I never mention it again because I cannot be proven wrong.
No, because I do want to know. But I want to know if I am in particular am right, because then I can really make it set, you know? It's fine. Whatever. Anyway. The end of the episode, I really do love seeing Balthazar, which I think I've decided that I'm going to nickname him Balthy because it's
okay,
so much better
that.
To write
yeah.
out Balthazar.
Yeah. That's yeah. fair.
I like seeing Balthy and Cass on the same team.
Balthy and Cassie.
Yes. Yeah. Wait, no, because then we'll get confused with Cassie from season one because she is.
I mean, it's not our fault that they'd call him Cassie.
It's their fault. You're right. But I like seeing them on the same team and on the same side. Like, that's powerful. And I love that as a duo.
There's an editing choice when, so like, Cass threatens Raphael to like leave and they do. And Balthazar's like, okay, Cassie, like, here's this thing. Don't fuck it up, basically. Like, don't fall on your own sword or whatever. And they're having this. I don't think they say that one, though. I don't think they say it.
I'm trying to normalize fall on your own petard as a saying before this episode comes out.
Anyway, so like they're having this moment, and for some reason the editors like cut to Dean like watching them have this moment, and I'm like, that's so interesting.
Yeah, it's just a choice, a real choice that they're making in that moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, oh, Cass is
curious as to why you're making that choice, but okay.
Cass is close to someone else, and Dean needs to have a reaction to it. Interesting.
Yeah, we need to be like, let's focus it on how Dean is feeling personally about this non-personal situation.
And at the end, when Cass is about to leave and he's technically talking to Dean and Sam, he's only looking at Dean.
Yes.
So, like,
yeah, it's like a lot of these conversations like, with like, both of them.
I wish I could tell you more, Dean.
And he's technically using the plural you, but right, technically. Really he's using the like, you.
He's like, I wish.
Dean Winchester.
Mm-hmm. That's just interesting, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing to point out.
It's really interesting.
Sometimes things just make you go,
I would love to talk to the editors of Supernatural. If I could just have a conversation with those guys.
Because writers are one thing, but editors are a completely other thing.
They choose what thing gets what they choose how the interpretation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, there's so many moving parts. Like, okay, you have the writers who write the scene, and then you have like Jensen and Misha choosing to act a certain way. Mm-hmm. And then you have the editors who choose to edit what they did. Mm-hmm. And then you have the people who sign off on the whole damn thing.
Which we can only assume that those people pay attention about half the time.
Right.
Because majority. Yeah. Because they're, you know, pompous fat cats who just sit up in their situations and don't really care. But the editors, I feel like, are the real heroes of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're real heroes, villains, everything
in between. All of the
above. Okay.
Sarah, what have you been working on?
Hit us with it.
I've been staring at the actors that were in the episode.
And you know what? We can't say that none of us have done the exact same thing, staring at the actors who were in the show.
I do think that Noah may be correct. I think that the dude who is dodging those shots by like just going like this, I think that is Ryan Beal. I would also like to point out that the other dude that like ducks the shot, his name is credited as Gopher.
Why Gopher?
Gopher. I think that means more like that PA, like, because it's like
that term.
Yeah.
But I just love it because it definitely is the dude.
It's Ryan Beal, just like, for sure.
I'm pretty sure it's Ryan.
It's Beal. One thing is, to duck from a shots fired, like, because like
that's different.
Yeah,
the dude who was just like, that dude, I think is Ryan Beal.
It was beautiful. Pointed. It was like, oh, not only did he dodge one, he dodged another one. Like, you know, like, it's very, very obvious that it was.
I want to bring something up that I don't like.
Do it. Negatives of the episode.
About like the end of the episode. So like,
oh yes, I have one. Okay. Also, let's one note it. About the end of the episode and a Hit particular.
Because I'm so sorry. I was tuned out while I was trying to.
Okay, Sarah tunes out when they listen to our podcast. Okay.
No.
You get it.
I was trying to figure out if you were right, Noah.
You know what?
She was doing this for you.
I was hyperfixated.
I'd take it all back. Sarah, you're my favorite person on this call.
Good. Hey. You've been torturing me the entire night.
You're so right. I fucked you up on your recap. I owe you this part.
The beef
at least.
In this episode between y'all. Right.
I feel like we can't have a major Pod Squad episode without having some beef. At least a minimal.
There's
amount.
Too many of us to not have something interpersonal going on.
Yeah, exactly.
We gotta have. We're so drama free. We have to create. There has to be something.
Fake drama.
At least pretend there's some drama free as a friend group.
Yeah. Exactly. All of that
like,
to say.
I don't just be friends or whatever. Like.
That's overrated, Sarah.
We should just be actors playing characters, playing actors playing characters.
You're so right, Sarah. Wow.
You know what? That's a great point. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Okay, but the thing,
anyway.
thing that I don't like is the low-key transphobic joke that they make about Raphael being in a female vessel.
That's the one thing I would change about this episode is that joke is just so gross and unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. It probably wasn't good in 2011. It's really bad.
Yeah.
I was like...
They were so close to having an episode because there's so many funny episodes of Supernatural that I watch back and I'm like, this isn't actually funny. Oh my gosh, these jokes aged poorly. And they were so close to making it out of this one without that. And then they fucked it up in the end. They
fuck it up with one singular joke that also is there is a way to draw attention and make it an interesting feature of Angels that they that's so interesting when we go Angels don't care about gender in the same way, being in a different vessel doesn't matter to them the same way. That's really interesting and cool. Mm-hmm. Instead of being transphobic, you had two options and you chose transphobia. Really?
Right.
Yeah. I think they changed that up a little bit more. Definitely a more positive thing later.
But... Yeah, absolutely. It absolutely is more positive later, but
good to hear.
Great. I like that. Gotta give you some positive outlook there.
Thank you. I felt really bad that I made such a good joke before you made a really good point. But giving it some hope afterwards helps.
Yeah. And then there's that implication of how many weapons did Balthazar get? So Cass plus how many weapons equals more than Archangel?
Yeah.
And the algebra.
Is it really? Because
is the math mathematics.
He threatens Raphael. And he's like, if you don't want to die tonight, you better skedaddle. And so Raphael leaves. But I'm like, why wouldn't you just simply kill him? Is it because
Cass just, currently have them on him?
Does Cass just not really want to kill him? I'm just confused that if you can do it seems like Heaven Civil War is not going well.
Either side.
He's trying to prevent killing Angel. Is kind of his dick earlier cast.
Okay.
It's also kind of the thing of I'm assuming with the Civil War in Heaven, if he was to just kill Raphael and they had no one to lead the other faction, they'd probably just default to Cass's side. I feel like if Cass managed to kill Raphael, no one else is going to have the bravery to fucking go up against him. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Man, what an opportunity lost. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, also, this is the first time I understood Virgil. He's talking about when he gets the guns that he was the Heaven weapons,
the keeper of weapons.
Keeper of weapons. I was like, I never made that connection in my head. And I was like, oh, this is why he's so pissed off. The weapons were stolen. He's really out here because he's like, I fucked up my job. And so now,
oh shit.
He's like, of course I'm being punished. I fucked up.
I've
seen that we get early on of Zach sitting in the bar being miserable about his 9-to-5. We should have had the same thing with Virgil.
Yeah. That guy, the actor who played Virgil, he did a great job.
Oh yeah.
He really killed it, honestly.
What is this? Was this a timeout?
Yeah, it is. It is exactly that. Sarah, what's your cat's name?
Bobby.
Bobby? After Bobby from the show?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, and then... maybe it's not a timeout. It was just part of the podcast.
This is Bobby.
She's fucking cute.
She's a girl.
You can see the rivalry just dissolving in real time as he realizes the cat's name's Bobby.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Noah can't be mad anymore. Noah
I can't be mad at all. And that's fine.
Incapable of it.
It's okay.
Her name is Bobby. It's spelled with an I at the end instead of a Y. And I like to tell the story that they put a pin in her leg. So when I found, my friend found her on the road. She had a broken leg. And they had to put a pin in her leg. And when they labeled the thing, it ended up saying Bobby pin. So I tell that every time I talk about her name because it's so cute.
It's so adorable.
And today, fun story, she sat on my dresser and cried at me until I came in the living room. And then, you would think that she would want to sit with me in the living room. No, she wanted to sit on her cat tree, but she didn't want me in the other room.
She wanted you to be in the same area as them.
I want to go in here.
Cat behavior.
You need to come in here. Yeah, and I'm going to ignore you, but get your ass out of bed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. it's motivational for you personally.
Yes, it is.
She walked in front of the camera and she has almost as many gray hairs as I do. So it's fun.
I love her little, she's like a little salt and pepper every once in a while. And I love it. It's so cute. And I love her whiskers. I call her the Lorax. I go, do you speak for the tweeze?
That is adorable.
Time in.
Time back
in. I'm in.
Sports.
I don't know if we talked about this while I was hyperfixating on who the fuck this man was, them being bait is so funny. I love when they're bait. It also makes me very sad.
Yeah. There's a lot that goes with it.
Then I'm like, ooh.
It works out because they use people as bait every once in a while. Specifically, a few episodes ago, Sam used somebody as bait when he was soulless. So it was maybe this is your penance for that moment.
Right? Yeah. But wasn't the lesson learned, maybe we shouldn't use people as bait?
Yes.
And then Cass was like, oh, this is Balthazar's plan. Go ahead, Balthazar.
I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, the fact that Cass knew and still said, I would have done the same thing was wild.
After they've very clearly been like, we're pissed about this, the nerve of him to just be like, yeah, I would have done it too.
Yeah,
woof, cold.
Yeah, I feel like he was just like, it was Balthazar's plan, but I feel like it was their plan and he's just trying to deflect.
Yeah.
He was like, we both agree.
You already hate Balthazar. Sorry.
So the fact that you agreed with him right now is already enough.
He's like, I can't be like that completely. I'll admit to some of it, but
I'm queer for you, so I've
and then he's gonna tell you the truth. He turns around and just makes the eye contact with Dean. They have their moment.
And game over. Honestly,
yeah. Also, Dean has that moment where he's specifically talking about how good Sam's life would have been if they had stayed in the alternate universe.
Which, Jensen,
no concern for himself. He didn't care about
me. A husband, hit me up. Don't worry about it. It's fine. We'll figure it out. If you're just jealous that Jared has a wife at this point, it's okay. We'll get there.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna point out something, but there's a parallel line in this in that scene that I want to point out. He says, Dean says to Sam, you got the whole package, it's no contest, you would stay. The last time we heard Dean use that line was in What Is and What Should Never Be, when he's talking to John's grave.
Ooh.
Your life, where he goes, your life for all of theirs, no contest.
Oh.
Just so you can all feel what I felt when I realized that was where I knew that line from.
Wow, August, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
You can sense some new beef brewing in the podcast right now.
I feel like it's happening right now.
Sometimes sharing isn't caring.
Yeah, I'm aware. Sometimes it's too much of a burden to carry it all on your own.
Literally, it doesn't care.
Literally none of us, especially the supernatural veterans who have seen the entire show, could ever really be mad at anyone else for sharing something horrifying, because we've all done it.
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I need to know if I'm the only one that has picked up on this parallel.
I did not pick it up.
Because I have never picked up on it until this ep watch.
I didn't get that far.
And Jamie has seen this episode twice.
Jamie, how you feeling? You feeling?
No, I've seen it once.
We both related to that, or was this new information for you?
Well, I didn't spot the parallel. Okay, but to be fair, I've watched significantly less Supernatural.
I
agree.
I've seen both these episodes.
So we're probably both anti this connection that August has made.
Yeah, I've seen this episode twice, and I've seen the other one once.
Can't hurt you as much as it can hurt the rest of us.
And that's absolutely fair. Can't blame you for that.
Also, if I just take my headphones out, it can't hurt me.
You know what? You're right.
It can't hurt you now. Okay, now.
That's great.
The great thing is you can now say whatever you want about Noah.
Oh, no. Never mind. We can't now. Everyone stop talking.
Should I take it back off? If only I wasn't editing this episode.
I will say I didn't pull that parallel, that but the parallel I did pull is we've now had two episodes that are kind of like the boys in like more quote unquote like normal universes. The other one I'm thinking of is It's a Terrible Life. And I found it really interesting that in It's a Terrible Life, you see a lot of like Dean's apartment and Dean's house and Dean's space sort of thing. Ooh. But in this episode, you only see Sam.
Yeah.
Like you see Jensen's trailer like very briefly, but other than that, like you're always in Jared's house with Jared's wife. And like, you know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah. That's really true.
Wow.
Interesting distinction to draw there between the two meta narratives they have.
Less emotionally devastating though. So
that's true too. Oh, just like a fun fact, when they do the laptop thing and they open it up and it's the Days of Our Lives clip, I'm pretty sure that that was real and that like Jensen didn't know that it was going to happen.
Oh, yes.
And he was like they like were like, eh, we're actually going to play Days of Our Lives.
They pulled it out. Yes. And so that's an authentic reaction.
Yeah.
Pulled it out the archives.
I love that for him.
That's but also, is Days of Our Lives owned by the same network as CW? Because otherwise, would they have had to pay for the rights to use that clip?
I cannot answer that.
I think
neither can I. I could look it up, but that seems like the easy solution instead of
I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say that Days of Our Lives not the same
Days
network.
Days of Our Lives was NBC/Peacock.
Yeah.
So I would say they probably had to purchase the rights to use that clip. Just like as a guess.
They said this is worth it.
They said definitely it's worth it.
It was worth it.
Jensen to react on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd pay anything.
They were like this prank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They loved. They said we're pranks. Yes.
Pranks.
Especially on set pranks where they're filmed.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying.
Gilmore Girls was on the CW. They could have just used Gilmore Girls.
They should have.
But they wanted to roast Jensen specifically.
They wanted Jensen, yeah.
It was Jensen's trailer. They were doing a whole Jensen bit because they were like, we got Jen for the Jared stuff later.
I think it was an oversight for them not to do a Gilmore Girls bit. And also would have saved them money, which apparently they did not have extra.
That's why the CW went broke, because they spent all of their money to get this Days of Our Lives clip for this episode.
Jensen was like pretty famous for his role on Days of Our Lives. Like he won awards for it. Like,
yeah. That's true.
Maybe in the script they had Jared's Gilmore Girls reference moment where he like came on screen, and then when Jensen came over to the computer, they pulled up a Days of Our Lives clip, and so he thought he was ready to see Sam acting as, because correct me if I'm wrong, he's a Sam in that show too, right?
He's a Dean, isn't he?
He's a Dean. That's even better. So he was ready to see a Sam acting as Dean, but then he saw Dean acting as his Days of Our Lives character, and that was even better of a reaction to pull for the episode.
I believe his character is named Eric Brady.
Yes.
Which is terrible. It's a bad name.
It's not great. Not
great.
I'm sorry. You could have done better, Eric Kripke.
Why just roast the Supernatural writers when you can also roast the Days of Our Lives writers?
Both at the same time.
You know what? Yeah, we just roast everyone.
Mm-hmm. We're just a roasting show over here. Maybe that's our subtitle. Wearing people saving things, the roasting show.
I feel like then you've got to be like hashtag roasted, you know what I mean? Like you got to lean into the cringe of it all.
You're right. Maybe it's a subtitle like in the description for the Pod Squad episodes.
I should add it to the...
Sorry, Sarah.
This is actually we're just the name of the episode is the one where Noah and Sarah beef.
You know what? I was gonna say maybe we should go back and record the opening bit where it's like the Supernatural episode where Sarah and Noah are not friends anymore.
It's real confused people before the episode even starts, and then they're
I'm sorry, it's all in
and it
good
just
fun.
Starts with me being like, I know this much about Noah's family.
Sarah, have you been back on the show?
This happened all
the other channels.
I think that's our fault.
Yes.
Okay.
Have you?
Yes. Weekend at Bobby's.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Like, I definitely did another one. I was like, where it wasn't really like 80 of us.
I was like, I know you did an episode that was just you. And Cheney Channel was your first time on here, so it had to have been after that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have you on for more. I swear, it's not real beef.
We're planning season 7 very soon.
Okay.
Very soon.
So we'll soon be asking for requests for season 7.
That was a really unconvincing. Okay.
It really was. I was like, man, Sarah.
I was like trying to go through the season 7 episodes and like be like, oh, this episode. Okay. And then I was like,
season seven.
I love it.
If you just haven't watched the show before, then you don't have that issue. You just don't know any of the season seven episodes.
I'm just going to make Beth pick for you.
Yeah. As long as it wasn't a response to me saying it wasn't real beef and you saying, okay.
Okay. Oh, no, that was, and that's really funny.
Well, now that we've finished the hunt for this week, we've tracked down the monster. No big deal. Now it's time to move on into our favorite section of the episode, character blessings. Who would you like to bless this week? August, how about you start?
Oh, I get to. I feel like I shouldn't start. I'm always You're here. Right. I always get the opportunity. You're I'm right. going to let someone else
we're
start.
Just, we're just hey, six people now. We can all go.
Everybody else.
It's really rare that I'm here for a blessing and I don't bless Sam. But honestly, I think he was okay. He's doing good enough in this episode that he doesn't need it. So I'm going to give my blessing to fake Jen, who really like had somebody in her life die and then her husband reacted in the most insane way possible.
So true.
And she's never really going to understand why.
I love how you're like, I'm not going to bless Sam. I'm just going to bless someone that's Sam adjacent.
Yeah.
Somebody that Sam hurt.
Up until I opened my mouth, I was like, it's either going to be Jen or Misha.
Both valid take on this episode.
I want to bless Sarah Gamble this week because she's really girl bossing her way out here, making her dreams come true. And like, I think it's also just so sad that they were like, let's portray her as like having no control over the show that she's actually meant to be showrunning.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying it's misogyny, but I'm not saying it's misogyny, you know?
But two out of the three writers on this episode were men. So we could say it's misogyny.
We can say whatever we want.
You know what?
This whole time. It's never stopped us before.
It's never stopped us before in six seasons of the show. Any other blessings?
I mean, I can bless who I bless every single time I come on this podcast.
Can I say Castiel? I'm sorry.
I'm going to bless Castiel because he's really going through it in heaven. Like, the war is not going well. He's got a little bit of a win this week, but it was a lot to get it.
To be honest, it's been a while since I watched the rest of season six, but like, this does feel like the first time that Sam and Dean are taking him at all seriously about it.
Right. Like, and Dean like kind of gets frustrated. And he's like, all you've told us is that it's hard. And I'm like, but you're not even really listening that it's hard. Like, and you know, I just, he's my precious little baby and I have to bless him when I'm on here. So
fair.
I have a blessing. I think it's going to be controversial.
Ooh.
Oh, do it.
I tuned in.
I would like to bless Virgil.
Okay, that's an interesting blessing.
Because it's gonna be controversial. I'm like, how controversial can it be?
I was
like, fucking hold my beer.
I'm gonna bless.
It's crazy.
I chose to bless Virgil because he got to do what all of us want to, and that is hunt Eric sport.
There it is.
Also, like, didn't he get trapped in the non-magic world? Just like beaten to a pulp. Like, that sucks. Like, and also, he did his job really badly, and he's probably going to jail. So, like, he might actually deserve a couple blessings.
You know what?
He's kind of fucked, actually.
Yeah.
By the end of this episode, he's just doing his job, and it just doesn't.
Yeah.
And now we've tied it back to the opening line of the show. So that seems like a perfect point to wrap it up. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming on this episode. This was a fantastic episode to have everybody on for. Would you guys like to shout out your podcasts one more time just before we wrap up?
And we will also link them for anyone listening. We will also link all of their stuff in the episode description. Go follow all of them. They all make incredible stuff.
They all make the best podcasts I've ever listened to.
I still don't understand how you have the time to edit like 8 different podcasts and plus listen to so many of our episodes. Like,
because my other job is I'm a delivery driver, and so I just listen to podcasts the whole time.
That answers also, like half of our
podcasts. No one's editing half of our podcast, so like. Yeah.
It's fine.
It's happening. The list is happening.
Don't worry about it. Anyway, in the same order you were at the top,
Once more, hi, I'm Jamie. I co-host Drug Fix podcast and also Thief Steals a podcast, which is a leverage podcast, not supernatural, with Beth, and we have fun at Chaos, and the links will be below.
I'm Beth. Beth Loves Cast on all my socials. I co-host Raising Perdition and I co-host Raising Winchesters, and you can find us on TikTok and Twitter.
And I'm KJ, and I host Supernatural Opinions, and I also co-host a podcast with August called Tripping Coast to Coast, where we talk about hockey.
Yeah.
And I'm Sarah. I'm a co-host of Raising Winchesters. Hoping that comes back soon.
Jensen, please.
All my socials. All my socials will be down in the below.
If you aren't already, we would love for you to subscribe to our show on your preferred platform of choice and share it with friends. Leave us a little review. If you want more content from us, you can join our Discord server or follow us on any social media platform. Our website is queeringthingspodcast.com.
Also out now, we've got our Queering People Saving Throws. It's our main Queering Things team, along with KJ, who you've heard on this episode already, taking a dive into a queer D&D adventure, releasing every other Friday right here on our feed.
We will also have a little bonus episode coming to you later this week. Sam, Noah, and I will unpack a little more of French Mistake, get into some of the more nitty-gritty stuff before we hop into next episode next week. So you can stay tuned for that.
Be sure to ride along with us next week as we explore Season 6, Episode 16, And Then There Were None, through the theme of sadness, which makes me feel no foreboding emotions at all. Yeah.
I will say this. I'm glad to know that we now know the theme for next week. It was a shame we didn't know the theme for this week.
Hey, Jamie. Okay, you've just removed yourself from the options who get to say the final lines. So Sarah, Beth, or KJ.
Wow.
Who would like to say the final lines here?
Also, I was thinking you could just get two of them to say part of it and two of them to say the other part of it.
At the same time?
We would have eliminated Jamie from it. Yeah, I don't know.
So you also hate Eddie.
Do the same thing as the unlike 30 second reading.
I'm sorry. I'm going to let you just actually direct this part.
No, that's fine.
It's fine. You make a decision.
Who wants to say the first part? Raise their hand.
I'll do it, I guess.
Sarah. Okay.
The lack of hand raising.
Thank you.
I'm about to be real anxious about it.
You can't even blame me. Like,
officially, right here and now, Sarah and I's beef is in. Okay.
Hell yeah. God.
And so then KJ and Beth both have to say the final line after Sarah says the first part.
Like right after? Like you want us to go? Like, I need to know my cue.
Not immediately after and leave a half second pause.
All right. Okay.
But I'll be able to edit it to make it work no matter what. Fuck you, okay, cool. Noah. Okay. Sorry.
Thank you all for coming along for the ride.
And we wish you a peaceful road until we meet again.